Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today I want to talk about something that is a very uncomfortable situation for a lot of people, but it's something that you're going to be so glad that you listened to, and it's about your will and trust documents. So nobody wants to talk about, you know, what happens if something happens to me? Am I covered? Are my kids going to get my assets and things like that? But if you take a few minutes and listen to what me and my guests say, I think you're going to feel a lot better and you're going to have some really good knowledge about wills and trusts, especially during and after divorce. So I have a great guest to talk with me on the subject. She is a wills and estate planning attorney. Her name's Stephanie Sexauer. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really glad we're doing this because this is really important stuff.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that it's obviously really hard to get the conversation going. It can be so morbid. But what I like to tell people is just remind them of how good it feels when it's done, that you've made a plan, which is so much better than leaving it up to chance or fate or the law or a judge. And you can feel good, you know, going to sleep at night that you've done what you can to protect your family.
Absolutely. So a little bit of background on Stephanie. Stephanie is a Chicago-based wills and estate planning attorney. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephanie, you can do business anywhere in Illinois.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And she's been practicing for 10 years. I met Stephanie about a year ago. Don't even remember how we met, but we had a really nice Zoom call and have kept in touch ever since. Do you remember how we met?
I'm forgetting who. I'm sure it was someone really lovely because everyone I've met who knows you thinks the world of you and vice versa. but yes, very glad to have made the connection and happy to be here now.
Stephanie, that was such a nice thing to say. Thank you so much. Okay, so I want to start this conversation off by just saying that when I was going through a divorce, I had a will. My ex-husband and I, when we had little kids, had gotten a will, but we didn't have a trust. So there are people listening, Stephanie. Some people don't have either, and some people have just a will. So tell me why it's important, first of all, to have a will, and then tell me why it's important and what a trust is.
Sure.
A lot of people really don't know that. I did not know until years later that you also can benefit by having a trust.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's pretty common. You know, we hear about wills in movies and books and, you know, the reading of the will. It sounds like a really important document. Unfortunately, the harsh reality is that a will alone is usually a very insufficient document to fully plan your estate. And that's because, at least in Illinois, and I think this is true almost anywhere, if someone owns real estate or has over $100,000 of assets that are not jointly owned or name a beneficiary, their estate will go through what's called probate, which we'll get to. And that's something we want to avoid.
Probate just basically means you have to go to court and a judge decides who gets what.
Well, probate generally is a court proceeding. It's like a divorce, like a lawsuit. It takes a long time. It's expensive. There are judges and lawyers and yes.
God forbid something happens to you. Your family has to go to probate. The money spent on your attorney who is representing you, that's going to come out of the money that was left. It's going to take a long time. It's a lot of work. It's emotional. So do you really want to do that to your family?
Well, that's the question. You know, I think it's unfortunate that this idea of wills is so prevalent in culture when they're really inferior. That in order to actually avoid probate, most people need what's called a trust.
All right, so tell us what that is.
A trust is a document. It's a lot like a will in that it says who should inherit from me and when and who should be the representative. But a trust is different because a trust will actually own your assets, but you're still the trustee of your trust. You can manage all of your assets just like you do today. You can sell your home, buy a new one, rent it out, refinance. Anything you can do with a trust. But a trust can avoid probate if it's funded, which is what that is, that your assets are owned by the trust.
So the difference is, if you have a will, it basically tells your family what your wishes are. If you have a trust, it's basically like sealing that will.
That's right. It makes it, you know, they are so similar in that they both say what should happen to the assets, but in with a will, you're going through probate to get those assets distributed to the people you want. With a trust, you can avoid probate and the cost and the judge and the lawyers so that you can do it privately. You know, it's not public record, it's all handled behind the scenes. It's much more seamless. So that's the real benefit.
Let's talk about people getting divorced. When you're going through a divorce, you probably either neither you or your husband has a trust, I mean, a will or trust, or one of you does. So let's take a case where two people get divorced, and then when is the right time to get a new will and trust?
Well, I think as soon as you're, you know, emotionally comfortable, I want to remind people that we all know this. A divorce is such a challenging time. It's so traumatic. I want you to do something that for yourself will give you a peace of mind that you haven't had in a while. And I do think with estate planning, you can do that. When you're married, for a lot of people, there's a natural plan. You know, you owned things jointly with a spouse. So if you were to pass away, your spouse would inherit it. That changes when we divorce. So as soon as you're comfortable after, I think is a good time to make sure you make this a priority.
100%. And because what if, God forbid, something happens and you've already been divorced for 10 years? What happens in a case like that if you don't have a will and trust or you didn't change yours from when you were married?
Well, there are laws set by each state about who should inherit from you, and it sometimes varies from what the person really wanted. So, you know, I can tell you a million horror stories about people get, you know, money getting into the hands of the wrong person with the wrong person in charge of the money, and the money is stolen. There's a million of those. But I think a much more common scenario is that people start taking matters in their own hands without talking to a lawyer. And I can't tell you the horror stories I've seen with that. I have a case right now where a man and wife divorced. The man was ordered to maintain $1 million of life insurance for the benefit of their son. The man did die. And the child, who was 8 at the time, inherited $1 million life insurance policy. Sounds great, right? The problem is he named the child himself as the beneficiary of the life insurance policy. And so what that caused is we have not only a probate estate for the dad, but we also have a minor guardianship probate estate for the son. And we're probably 5 years into this case now, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you that the lawyer's fees on this case alone have been about $30,000 a year, every year, since his dad died. It's very, very expensive. So it's when I say we want to avoid probate, I mean it. It's wildly expensive.
So I can tell you a case that I heard of this guy who had been divorced for a couple years. He got into an accident and died. He was engaged to this other woman and he never changed his will and trust. So his ex-wife was the one going through the home, taking what she wanted. I'm not even blaming her or taking sides or saying she's a bad person, but I, in my heart, don't believe that is what that guy wanted.
Well, right. He absolutely didn't. I mean, it wouldn't have made any sense that he would have wanted his spouse to get everything. And I do think, you know, I don't know how long ago that is. I think at least now in Illinois, there's some pretty specific language required in a divorce saying I waive any, you know, if even if I'm named in a document to receive assets, I'm waiving my right to get it. Meaning that it would just pass to that man's heirs. If he had kids, it would go to his kids. If he had parents and siblings, it would go to them, which is still better than someone you have no relationship with getting it. You know, obviously the best case scenario would have been him having a trust. If he had, a fiance he wanted to leave assets to, make sure they get to her. But getting married or not, you still need to update these documents. Marriage can't solve that problem for you.
Absolutely. So that brings me to my next question. Do you ever get involved and talk with divorce attorneys about a case? Like, how does that work?
Oh, it happens all the time. And here's how it happens. I have one right now where an ex-husband just died. He owed about $30,000 in child support. We're now dealing with it in probate to collect the old child support that was owed. He left his home to his parents. So the grandparent, I mean, I wish I could tell you that families are work in perfect harmony, all for the better of the kids all the time, but that is just not the case. So am I working with divorce attorneys all the time? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's usually not very pleasant. You know what I think happens even more, though, Jackie, is the situation on someone on a second marriage and how that really impacts the children of the first marriage.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, you've heard this story before, right? It's the case of, young mom and dad doing great, have a little baby at home. God forbid the dad passes away in a car accident. Mom eventually goes on, recovers, grieves, and gets into a new relationship. If she and her husband did not have separate trusts, what she does is inadvertently, innocently, take all of that joint money with husband number one and bring it into relationship number two. And, uses the money for a down payment for a bigger home because now they're joining their families. And what happens is when mom, wife passes away, all of those assets pass to husband number two, who passes it to his kids instead of the child of the original relationship.
Let's move on to the process of obtaining will and trust documents, because people listening might think it's really complicated. It probably takes a long time. It's expensive. So we'll talk about the cost in a minute, but let's talk about what do you do? Like, what's the first step?
Well, I do think it would make sense to start reaching out to some of your girlfriends, colleagues at work, see who's done this type of planning, see if they had a good experience with someone, and get some recommendations. I think you can Google this all you want, but unless you have someone real in real life to talk to about the process, a lot of it might not make sense. But the first step, I think, is getting some referrals. I think that's where you'll have some faith in the lawyer's ability, your comfort level with them. Schedule a meeting with one or two or three of them. See who you jive with. From there, what I think most estate planning attorneys do is they'll send the client an intake form, which will really give you an opportunity to put pen to paper on some of the things you've probably been thinking about. God forbid, who should raise your kids if you're not here to do it, how and when the kids should inherit from you, plans for if you remarry, how that will all play in together. And then through a series of meetings, you and the lawyer will together create this outline of what a plan should look like.
And does the attorney help the person and guide them and say, well, most people do this, some people do this?
I think the good ones do. I have a lot of clients who return intake forms to me and either they're incomplete, maybe because they just can't really think of who in their lives would be appropriate. And we have a lot of conversations about that. it could be that it's just so hard to think about that if you were to pass away. So they just want to know, what do other people like me do? And we have a lot of discussions on the different things you can customize. You know, kids should be raised by my mom so long as she's under 75, or my brother so long as he's living in this city. Things and, that should really matter to you.
And this is the good part. You can always change things. This isn't set in stone and you have to live with this for the rest of your life.
Oh, totally agree. I like to think as far into the future as I can with clients, because I don't want them to feel like they need to come back to me. We try to talk through the future. But the benefit of this type of planning is, yeah, you can make changes whenever you want. And once it's set up, the changes that might be monumental to you are really easy to do on my end. So they don't take up a lot of time. They're not expensive once the actual plan is established.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, wills and estate planning attorney, Stephanie Sexauer. We're talking wills and estates after divorce. You bring up a great point where you just said it doesn't cost much to change, you know, your will if you want to change something. What I love about this is that, unlike your divorce attorney, this is a fixed cost to create an estate plan to get a will and trust from someone like Stephanie or another attorney. It's a fixed cost, right? I mean, it's not like you're being billed hourly by your divorce attorney.
Well, generally, you're right about that. I would say that the vast majority of experienced estate planning attorneys have a sense of how long this takes, so they've built a price around that. I don't like when I see estate planning attorneys charged by the hour. I think that that causes clients to reduce the number of conversations they have with you because they're afraid of getting charged. And I really want to dive in to someone's life and make sure we're getting this exactly right. So I would say most people charge by a flat fee. Here in Chicago, I'm in a small law office, and a very typical charge for our area is what I charge, which is $3,500 for couples, $2,500 for single individuals. And that includes the whole estate plan, wills, trusts, powers of attorney, living wills, lots of ancillary documents.
Oh, Stephanie, and you and I are just getting to know each other. And I just love what you just said, that you really want to dive in. You want to charge one fee because then it's unlimited conversations. And then somebody can call you back and say, you know, I thought about it and I'd rather have this person as my second person for power of attorney for healthcare or whatever it is. So that's so nice. You know, it doesn't sound like you're rushing through it. It sounds like you really want to be thorough and really get to know the client. That's wonderful.
Well, we do, you know, that's important in this job. And I don't want clients to feel at all inhibited from contacting us. And I think most estate planning attorneys feel that way. Some estate plans I can finish in 15 hours and some take 50. You know, I think people have a misconception that this is somehow an easy, quick process, but it's thorough. It takes a lot of effort.
How long does it take from start to finish typically to put a will and trust together, from the time you meet the client to the time they sign it and it's done?
Well, I can tell you that the average is about a month. We've done them in a matter of days for clients, you know, certainly ill clients who have reason to think that maybe their end is near. That happens. And I've had clients take a year. You know, this isn't always as good as I think it feels to be over with. It's a process to really think about your own passing. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. And I want to make sure people take their time with it.
And especially after a divorce, like then you're thinking, Absolutely. Oh, am I going to die alone? Because, you know, most people going through a divorce don't really think they're ever going to meet someone again because they're not thinking that yet. They're just trying to get through the divorce. So, you know, that idea of feeling really alone is very prominent at that time.
I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, as soon as you're kind of ready to pull yourself back up and get back into figuring out what's important to you and your priorities, that is a good time to make sure you're making the changes in your life that makes sense as you're embarking on this new adventure.
Do you work with a lot of men and women who are just post-divorce?
I do because sometimes, especially, there are specific requirements in their divorce that they need to abide by in terms of their own estate planning. So that's a pretty common scenario.
And how do you find them when you're working with them? Are they optimistic? Are they happy to get this out of the way? You know, what are they like?
Well, I do think they're relieved by that point. You know, that means that the writings, you know, the documents have been signed, sealed, delivered. They do seem like they've moved ahead. They're into the new life.
And isn't this just such a nice thing to be able to cross off the list? You know, like you don't have to think about it anymore because you can just exhale and say everything's taken care of and I don't have to worry. Because we all know we can't control the future. We don't know what's going to happen. It's very uncomfortable for people to even go there, but you kind of have to for this.
Right. I think so too. I do think it's just a new breath of fresh air, a relief, something off the list that you've been probably telling yourself you need to do for a while, and now it's done.
I just think you sound like a delight to work with. And I
Oh,
think
you're
that
so sweet.
you
Thank
said
you.
that people, you know, should Google and meet, wills and estate planning attorneys. And I'm saying they should Google and meet you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. This is Jackie Pilisoff. I'm talking to Stephanie Sexauer. She's a wills and estate planning attorney in Illinois. So, Stephanie, any last thoughts of, or any advice you want to give people going through a divorce who are thinking, I don't really want to go here, but I think I should and redo my will and get a trust or get a will and trust for the first time?
Yeah, I think it really is, you know, a matter of when you're ready, do make it a priority. I can't tell you the number of cases I have in and out of probate court that if people could go back in time and make a plan for themselves, I know they would have. Do it as soon as you can. Don't feel a pressure, but, you know, just get it crossed off your list so you can feel good about your own future.
I just love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is very helpful. It's such a little thing in the big scheme of life, meaning a little thing where it doesn't take a lot of time, it doesn't cost a ton of money, and it's such a big thing, one of the biggest that will give you peace of mind and just feel so much better after your divorce.
Well, I so appreciate you having me on, Jackie. Thank you again. And so look forward to helping anyone who needs it.
Okay, and if you want to reach Stephanie, you can go to her website at sexhourlaw.com, or you can find her on Divorced Girl Smiling at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you real soon.